This is the son of PCJ.
This is London. This is London.
The Voice of Russia World Service.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
This is the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland, with a relay transmission via Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles, directed from New Zealand.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
Bonjour à vous si vous nous rejoignez sur Radio France Internationale. Il est 5h à Paris.
This is Radio Ukraine International.
This is the English program of Radio Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcasting service.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Perron.
Hello and welcome. Fiji's new state television service wants the New Zealand government to lift its ban on TV New Zealand to have its programs relayed in Fiji. The head of the Fiji TV has called the New Zealand reaction childish. The fifth edition of the Worldwide Listening Guide by John Figliozzi has been out for a few weeks now, and it is a detailed program guide of what one can hear in English on the shortwave bands. He'll be joining us for a look at the guide. And beginning March 1st in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, the 25th SWL Winterfest kicks off. Keith will be heading there, and he'll join us for a sneak preview of what will be taking place there. Media Network Plus, where ideas and propagation conditions collide. First, here's Keith with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
The Australian Broadcasting Corporation has engaged British consultants to conduct a major review of its daily TV, radio, and online news gathering operation. The director of ABC News, Kate Tony, said the British news consultant experts, Gary Rogers and Gabe Flashman from Venture Consulting, had vast experience at the BBC, ITN, and Sky, and would spend time with staff in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and Perth to get a sense of the workflow in various newsrooms and the different demands and pressures. Internet giant Yahoo has applied to be removed from a lodged lawsuit in an Indian court against social networking sites hosting allegedly offensive content. More than 20 internet firms, including Google and Facebook, have been named in the case, which follows meetings between government ministers and the companies over material seen as offending Muslims or defaming politicians. Telecoms Minister Kapil Sibal has pressured global internet firms to crack down on offensive material, but he has denied accusations of censorship, saying they only had to obey the same rules governing the press. Google and Facebook said earlier this month that they had removed allegedly offensive content used as evidence in court. The groups have appealed to the Delhi High Court, asking the cases to be dropped on the basis they cannot be held responsible for their clients' actions. The International Telecommunications Union, or ITU, has called upon the world's nations to take necessary steps to stop intentional interference with satellite transmissions. The change in ITU regulations, which was approved at the just-concluded World Radio Communication Conference in Geneva, Switzerland, came after numerous complaints that international satellite TV programs in Persian and Arabic were suffering from deliberate interference, known as jamming. The two satellite operators that have been targeted, Eutelsat and Arabsat, said that the interfering signals originated from Iran and Syria. The interference, which has increased in September 2011, has infected broadcasts from the BBC, Radio France, France 24, Deutsche Welle, and others. Joining in the backing of the ITU rule change were Radio Netherlands Worldwide and the European Broadcasting Union. Community radio stations in Chile continue to call for the legal framework that would allow them to operate without restrictions, because although a specific law was passed nearly 2 years ago, it has not entered into effect. The new law expands the limit on broadcast power from 1 to 25 watts, the height of the station's antennas from 6 to 10 meters, but it only assigns 5% of the availability FM frequency for community stations. The last portion on the dial between 105.9 and 107.9. It also keeps a place in ban on advertising that means stations can only finance themselves by means of ads for businesses located within the station's range. While some see the new law as a step forward, others say it does not represent a significant improvement. If you would like more information on these and other stories, I invite you to visit the Media Network blog from Andy Sennett at Radio Netherlands Worldwide. You can find a link for them at www.pcjmedia.com. Look at the bottom of our page, click, and you'll be right there. I'm Keith Perron.
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
The New Zealand government is being urged to lift a ban on Television New Zealand providing its free Pacific service to Fiji's first state television service. Fiji Broadcasting Corporation TV was launched by Fiji's interim Prime Minister, Commodore Frank Bainimarama, 3 months ago. The FBC says it's had two requests to show TV New Zealand's free Pacific service turned down on instructions from New Zealand's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The corporation's chief executive, Riaz Syed Khayyum, says it's illogical to extend official sanctions against the interim government to television programs. The New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs says the television ban is part of government sanctions imposed against the military regime in 2006. Jeff Robinson of Radio New Zealand has the details.
Fiji's new state television service wants the New Zealand government to lift a ban on Television New Zealand providing the station its free Pacific service. The television service FBC TV was launched by Fiji's military ruler Frank Bainimarama in November last year. Since then, New Zealand's Ministry of Foreign Affairs has twice vetoed requests to rebroadcast TVNZ news and features. The Fiji Broadcasting Corporation's chief executive, Riaz Syed Khayyum, says it's illogical to extend official sanctions against the military regime to television programs.
Personally, I think it's childish. They're a government. They can do whatever they like. They can make whatever decision they want to. I just don't think it's going to make any iota of a difference to the New Zealand government if they allow us to use the service or not. The only difference it will make is the fact that the public of Fiji will be able to see some great programs. That's all.
Well, our Pacific Issues correspondent, Karen Mangel, is following the story. Karen, is it right that TVNZ has been told it cannot provide television programs to Fiji state television?
Yes, Jeff, it certainly appears so. I've spoken to both TVNZ and Foreign Affairs about this. TVNZ has confirmed it has declined an approach by Fiji State TV for rights to its free Pacific service, but it won't comment any further. And the Ministry of Foreign Affairs says such a ban does fall under the New Zealand government sanctions that it imposed on Fiji's military regime after the coup back in 2006. And that means that TVNZ, because it's a state-owned broadcaster, cannot provide help to the Fiji Broadcasting Corporation because it too is owned by the Fiji government.
So why does Fiji state broadcaster think television should be exempted from the sanctions?
Well, it was an interesting interview that I had yesterday with Riaz Syed Khayyum. He insists that it's a purely innocent request to TVNZ because FBC simply wants the best programs it can get for the least money, or in the case of the Pacific Service, for free. He says TVNZ's news and features like Tangata Pacifica and Asia Down Under are very relevant to Fiji's viewers, and more so than some of the other overseas programming it can get. And the Fiji viewers will be the ones who will suffer from a ban, not the Fiji military regime. And he says FBC TV, yes, it's owned by the Fiji government, but other than that, it's no different from the country's two other privately owned TV stations because it runs ads and commercial programming.
So does that mean that no TVNZ programs go to Fiji's television viewers at all?
No, it's not a blanket ban from what I've been told by Foreign Affairs. It's just one targeted at Fiji State Television from New Zealand State Television. And Fiji does have two privately owned commercial TV stations. They are both free-to-air, although one does also have a pay TV, and they do broadcast New Zealand programs. My TV, for example, carries TVNZ's Pacific Service, and the other commercial network, which is Fiji TV, it has one of Fiji's top-rating programs, which is Shortland Street, Jeff.
Well, there you go. Karen, thank you. Karen Mangle, our Pacific Affairs correspondent.
Years, there have been many books and guides dedicated to international broadcasting. With a decline to shortwave listening in developed nations, some of these publications have just stopped. Despite the changes to listening, there's still a very large niche audience that is interested in having all the information in one book. John Figliozzi has just come out with a fifth edition of the Worldwide Listening Guide. This is a very detailed program guide that has information on what you can hear in English 24 hours a day. But since the first edition to the latest one, there have been a number of changes, as he explains.
Yeah, I mean, the book tries to be platform agnostic. I mean, it's, you know, it had its beginnings. The whole concept had its beginnings as a shortwave listening guide because there just weren't any program guides really out there. Amalgamated program guides, consolidated program guides for shortwave listening. You could get a great, you know, program book from the BBC at one time and from individual stations. And really the attempt was just simply to try to put these things together. But what has happened obviously is that the platforms for radio have expanded greatly, something we mentioned earlier on in our discussion on the Winterfest and how the Winterfest has changed. And that's how this book has changed as well.
Did you compile this yourself? Because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, wow. I mean, how much work went into this?
I have no social life whatsoever. I just sit by the computer and enter these things in the computer. It is a labor of love. It is something that, and fortunately, my family, it gives me great indulgence to lock myself, you know, in here for hours at a time and do it. But I enjoy doing it. It's something that enjoy doing, understanding how stations put together their overall presentation, whether it's a BBC Radio 4 and what the idea is behind that, to, you know, why are the particular topics covered in a one-hour broadcast on Radio Romania International. It's just something that's always fascinated me, and this allows me to sort of express that interest and share it with other people. But it is something that I have to do myself because there's nothing else out there that makes this, something like that available, at least not in book form.
Now, if somebody wants to get a book, how is the easiest way to obtain it?
Well, if you're in the United States, you can order it from Universal Radio, or you can get it from Amazon.com. In fact, you get that worldwide as long as it's the Amazon USA site. Click in the name of the book and it'll come up. We are trying to grow some outlets with it. We've been talking with Radio Shack, which is still a big player in this country, at least as far as electronic stores are concerned. There's probably more of them than there are of any other even Best Buy or something along that line. So we're talking to try to increase its availability. But, basically right now it's available through hobbyist stores, like I said, an online or a mail order house like Universal Shortwave, and then through Amazon.
Beginning March 1st in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, a number of listeners to the shortwave bands will be gathering to take part in the 25th edition of the SWL Winter Fest. The fest this year, unlike in years past, is 3 days and covers a wide range of topics from traditional shortwave to listening from satellite and the internet. Keith now joins us to give a quick look at what you can expect if you'll be attending.
Well, the SWL Fest is something that I've heard about for 25 years. This year is the 25th anniversary. And it's so funny because I remember in the 1990s knowing people that were going down, thinking, you know, maybe next year I'll go. Maybe next year I'll go. And I just find it kind of funny that, you know, now that I'm living halfway across the world, I decide to go. Whereas, you know, 20 years ago, I was only a few hours away, you know?
So you said it's the 25th anniversary and it's your first time going, but for some reason I seem to remember that you were actually there.
Last year I was there via Skype on David Goran's Shortwave Shindig for, it was like an hour long. So that was the closest I got to it. And I told the organizers last year, I said, look, next year I promise to go. I promise to go, especially for the 25th anniversary. And I'm looking forward to it because there's going to be a lot of people that are there that I haven't seen in 20 years.
Wow. Wow. So who are some of these people?
Well, there's people like Sheldon Harvey, who does a show called The International Radio Report on a station that I used to work at 25 years ago. A friend of mine, Boris Shidov, that over 20 years ago, him and I hosted a show together on international radio. And a lot of other people, names of even listeners that I have known over the years that I've never met before. So it should be quite interesting.
Sounds like it's going to be old homecoming or Radioland homecoming.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a very, everybody that has gone said it's the kind of thing that because everybody knows everybody that goes, it's almost like a big family gathering of like 200 people every year. And everybody gets together and they just talk about radio. And the nice thing is this year, because it's the 25th anniversary, it's going to be 3 days instead of two.
Wow. So it's not going to be all party, 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 though, is it?
No, there's actually a lot of interesting forums that are taking place, and I'll just run down a few of them. They begin on March 1st. The first one is at 10:30 in the morning, and that's the one that I'm taking part in. It's called Shortwave for Good, and it's to discuss what happened and where can we go from here. That one's being chaired by Thomas Witherspoon. During the day, there's also some discussions about ham radio. One that I want to go see in the late afternoon called Radio Via the Web. Programming devices and applications. It's going to be a roundtable discussion about new media and how international broadcasting is now also in that form. So it's not just shortwave, it's also new forms of media as well. Then on Friday, there's Radio Free Asia that's going to be there to make a presentation about Radio Free Asia and some of the big changes that they're going to be making and how a bit of their history. Another one on Friday that I'm looking forward to because I know her, Janice Laws. She's also now on radio with Sheldon Harvey on the International Radio Port. She's a world traveler like myself, and every time she goes to a different country, she records radio in various different countries.
Oh, wow.
And she's been to 57 countries and was recently a member of the United Nations mission, one of the United Nations missions in Africa. So she's going to be talking about, radio in these different areas and how important radio is in these different areas. There's going to be people talking in one of the forums about scanners. You know, the people that listen to, like, firemen and police trucks and everything. There's going to be another forum on antennas, you know, and how to build the best antenna for what you need. There's another forum that's going to be on European radio. There's going to be another forum on, you know, pirate radio. And the funny thing I was told about the pirate radio guys, they don't like to identify themselves.
Oh, really?
And every time they see a camera or something, they go and hide. So that should be interesting. David Goran is going to be there like he is every year with his shortwave shindig. There's going to be, like I said, another session on pirate radio, another things on RF systems, looking at the multitude of systems that are used for broadcasting news, sports, and entertainment operations. They're going to be showing a film on Friday afternoon. And it's the second year that they've shown a film, and it's called The SWFS Goes to the Movies. And the movie that they're showing is a movie I've seen before. It's called Pirate Radio, that stars Philip Seymour Hoffman, Kenneth Branagh and some other very well-known actors. There's some banquets, and this will go on until Saturday. And then Saturday night, there's the Grand Raffle.
Oh.
A grand raffle, and they have all kinds of radios, they have books, they have, I mean, a lot of stuff, and you know, they have radios ranging from like $10 all the way up to like, you know, like $300-$400. So it really should be a blast.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's taking place in about 5 days' time.
That's right, it begins on the 1st of March. I'm leaving Taipei on the 28th, and I arrive, which is kind of odd because I arrive in New York also on the same day that I leave because of the time difference.
All right.
So I'm staying one day one night in New York City, and then on the 29th, I'm heading to Philadelphia, and then from Philadelphia to Plymouth Meeting. And I'm going to be going, actually, we're meeting up in New York City with Thomas Witherspoon, who's chairing the first forum to begin the festival that I'm taking part in. So that should be a lot of fun as well, because we've been talking for years and we've never met face to face.
Wow. Well, that is going to be a lot of fun. So for anybody listening who's interested in attending, it is open to the public, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's open to the public. And the website is www.swlfest.com. That's www.swlfest.com. You can still go and register right now to attend all the forums for the 3 days. And I believe it's $80, but they also had another package which is now closed, and that was $80, including the food and the drinks and the banquet and everything. But that one is all booked up right now. But
well,
you
still
can still, yeah, you can still go and attend for the 3 days for the $80, which you think about it is really good, you know. And there's so many people that are coming in, not just from the U.S., but also from other places as well. I mean, Victor Gonatelica, who's been on this show before, he went a few years ago. To it. So they, you know, they've been around for 25 years, and it's one of those things that, you know, it's the same people that get together, but there's a lot of interesting topics that are discussed at it.
If you'd like more information and will be in the area, the website again is www.swlfest.com. I'd also like to remind you that the 55-minute monthly edition this week will have a special about the SWL Fest. The organizers of the fest, Richard Cuff and John Figliozzi, will be on to give us more details.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399. 1399, and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
Now, time for propagation.
A 10.7 centimeter flux of 105 from February 25th to February 27th, 2012. On February 28th through March 2nd, 2012, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 100 even. On February 25th, we'll see an A index of 8, and then an A index of 5 from February 26th to March 1st, 2012. On March 2nd, we'll see a rising A index to 8. The KP index will be 3 on February 25th, followed by a KP index of 2 from February 26th to March 1st. On March 2nd, the KP index will be 3. Looks like good propagation this week, though the A index is high on February 25th and March 2nd, and moderately high from February 26th to March 1st. Look for the KP index and 10.7 centimeter flux to help us out on the bands a bit. On February 22nd, the sunspot groups were in view. 1419, 1420, and 1422. On February 21st, a partial eclipse of the sun occurred. According to spaceweather.com, during the eclipse, the edge of the moon briefly covered sunspot AR1422, a source of strong ultraviolet emissions. SDO's EVE sensor, which measures the sun's extreme UV output, saw a sharp drop at several wavelengths when the sunspot was behind the moon. This was a rare opportunity for solar and radio propagation researchers at NASA.
Thank you, Dan Hensley. And with that, we've come to the end of the program. If you would like to contact us, our email is mnp@pcjmedia.com. Again, that's mnp@pcjmedia.com. And if you'd like to listen to this program again and tune into past editions, just go to www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. You'll also find information there on time and frequencies to catch the program. So on behalf of the team, I'm Paulette Macquarie saying so long. 73s to you all.
Thank you.